Good morning. Lord's blessings to all of you. This is a great privilege to be able to spend a week with you all. There's various familiar faces that I know. Actually, a good percentage, but then there's some that I haven't met but look forward to getting to know this week. I guess I look at this week and I'm not sure how to describe the feelings that I have deep within. But if I could express it a little bit this way, that here there's all of you youth that have come to spend the week in seeking God, and I have the privilege to be a part of that. I treasure that. I count it a great blessing, and I trust the time that you spend here this week won't be in vain. And I guess as I view a week like this, I consider the long-term effects that it can have on you. It's quite something. So I think it'd be good if we could just all maybe rise together and pray before we start. Why don't we do that? Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you, O God, that you're here. We thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst. You have promised where two or three are gathered, you'll be in their midst. And God, as you look this morning, as you look upon all of these youth, and God, you know where each one is going to be at 10 years from now. You know that. But this morning, we ask of you that you would come by your Holy Spirit and draw each one to yourself. We ask, God, that you would just enable each one to open their hearts to you fully and all the way, unreservedly. I ask, God, that you would just help each one to strive earnestly to be a part of that kingdom of God, to be a part of what you want to do here on the earth in these last days. We ask God that you'd also help me as I share the word this morning, that it could bear forth fruit, give me thoughts and inspiration, give me the burden, help me to communicate. And I ask, Lord, that we could be able to connect together and hear what you have for us. So thank you for being here. I ask, Lord, that you would also be with the other speakers. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, we ask that your spirit, your anointing would be here, Lord. It's just a great blessing to gather in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I was considering where all to go this week and what to be sharing. My thoughts went in many different directions. And as you probably saw on your flyer, the title of the overall series I called Youth Solidifying a Direction. And I guess my goal in some of this is that in the middle of us seeking to serve God, there could be various things that are a part that will enhance, that will help us to serve God in a more faithful and real way. This morning, the specific title for this morning is Youth Relationship with Parents, is a title this morning. Youth Relationship with Parents. If you want to turn with me for an opening scripture to the book of Luke, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. It would be nice if I could have a glass of water. Someone could help me with that a little bit. Would help me. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 16. Referring to a prophecy in the book of Malachi. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 16, we're going to start reading, and it says, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." If you go to, thank you, Karen. That's one of my wonderful sons, by the way. If you go to the book of Malachi, chapter 4, where this prophecy was actually prophesied, he not only is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, but he's turning the hearts of the children also to the fathers. And so, I'm not sure if I can just in the beginning here explain to you the heart of what I want to share. I'm not sure how to do that. But maybe I'll endeavor if you could try to hear. One of the things that our youth go to Bible schools, and I preach at Bible schools, and I talk with various youth, one of the things that I guess is at the bottom, if I want to share here, is there are what I'm going to call a lot of youth who aren't really connected with their mom and dad. They're not connected. For various reasons. There's some that are, and some that are not. There's some of you that might not have both of your parents. Many of you do. But at the bottom of what I'd like to share this morning is this whole idea that youth and parents are together. I don't know if I could communicate that. So as we go through this today, just think about that. Think about that. That's at the heart of what I'd somehow like to communicate to you. I'd like to just share that I know that for some of you who sit here and you realize it's not where it is, there's things that go through your mind as to why it's not there. There's reasons why it's not there. And this morning, we're not here to try to change your parents. What we'd like to do is put out what Scripture clearly instructs you all to do. There are various things that are very clear Scripture of what God, in the middle of whatever situation you find yourself, is very clear direction for what God would have you to do as youth. I know that there's maybe some of you who feel like I can't because of these various reasons, but I would like to have it with my children. I would like to have it when I get to be a parent, I like to have it. I like to hear just in the beginning say, if you want to have it with your children, there's a good chance that you won't get near as far as you want if you don't today make some clear moves with your parents today. Okay? If you want to have it with your own family someday in the future, there's a necessity for you to today make some clear, distinct moves on your part, which will then go a long ways in the future for yourself. I'm not sure how to say this, but if you all would see the value of this whole thing, you'd all go after it. If you would see the value that this has, I have seen young people who have, I'm not sure, they have a walk with the Lord, they have a relationship with God, and yet, when their hearts have come together with mom and dad like this, There's something that happens in their walk with God that nothing else does it. There's nothing else that does that. You know, and if I could just, I'll just say it this way. There's tremendous value in what I'm trying to describe to you. If you could see the things that I have seen with youth who have specifically come together with their mom and dad like this, and you'd see the change in their life, you'd want it. I know you would. And you would do whatever it would take to get there. Okay? There's something when youth and parents come together, there's something that happens that in a youth walk in relationship with God that nothing else brings that whatever you want to call it. That, you know, it's a part of God's plan. And as a part of God's plan, when that comes together, there are things that happen in a youth walk with God that is, you know, it brings a rest, it brings a peace, it brings power, it brings, you know, just on and on. And we'll talk more about that. But consider that. If you would see what I've seen already and what happens when youth come together with their parents, how that enhances their walk with the Lord and how it strengthens and all that, you'd go after that. You'd go after that. I remember back when I was your age. I'm just going to say that I was probably 18 years of age. And I remember one night we were doing chores. We had some cows, and it was cold. It was during the winter. We had our thick coats on, had our caps on, pulled down, and we were up in our barn. And I can just very clearly remember being up in the top of the barn, and there was hay to put down for the cows. And I remember that evening as I was putting down the hay, you know, we one bale after the other, we pull it down over to the hole, down the hole, we walk over and get some more. I remember my dad coming and just standing there. And my dad is a godly man. And I'm going to say that at that time, I had respect for my father, but it wasn't as close as I would have desired it to be. He very much spoke into my life, and I didn't open my heart as much to him as I should have. But I remember him walking over to me, and we stood there. And clearly remember, here was the hole where the hay went down to the bottom. The cows were down there. You could hear them eating. There's some pigeons up in the roof, and we stood there. And I remember it was cold. And we stood there for half an hour. My dad shared things with me that I'll never forget. He expressed burdens that he had on his heart for myself. He expressed a desire of where he would desire for me to go in life. And I remember standing there, cold, but there he was. Cows were eating, moving a bit here and there. I was cold, but I stood there. And to this day, I remember that conversation. I'm going to say that conversation had an impact upon the direction of my life. And I'm going to say that if my heart would not have been open to receive the direction, I'd probably be in a very different place today. You know, there are different levels of relationships with parents. There are some here that maybe there's some animosity between you and your parents. And some friction. And if you come into the house and you're there, all of a sudden, you know, if your dad or mom walks in, all of a sudden you get this urge to just upstairs and be gone. There's animosity and friction there. There's others maybe here who maybe there's nothing between you and your parents. Things are open, free. You enjoy them, they enjoy you, but that's about as far as it goes. They don't speak into your life and you don't open yourself to them. There's a level of friendship, there's a level of openness there where you just enjoy each other, but they don't really speak into your life. You know, that's another level. There's maybe some here this morning, and this is the level that I would like to lift up for us to strive after, is that you have the type of relationship with your parents to where you are opening yourself to them to speak into your life. And if I say not only opening yourself up for them to speak into your life, you are also opening your own heart and sharing the things that are there. We'll talk more about these things. But there's different levels of relationships that I'm going to say are here present this morning. And I like to just, I'm not sure how to express this, but in a group this size, I'm just going to say there's way too many that are at the first two levels and would desire to be at the third level with your parents and with your family one day, but you'll never get there because you're not doing anything about it today. And it's for that reason that one generation goes after the other. And you ask the question, well, why can't I have it with my parents? And, you know, it's my parents' fault and, you know, they did this and they did that and all those kind of things. Those are the thoughts that go through your mind. I like to just say that, hear me out this morning. I like to just look at some very specific things that God instructs in His Word that you can do no matter where your parents are. Okay? We like to blame someone else, right? I do. Man. Recently, I forget what the situation was even, but recently there's something that all of a sudden I did and it wasn't right. And so I was telling someone about it. And when I shared with them, I made sure that they knew that it was, this is why I did it, because I didn't want to look as bad. Okay, you know, that's how we are, right? They're just our selfish nature. You know, we try to blame others. But what I'd like to do this morning is lead us in a direction. Give us some goals. Give us some vision. Give us some things for us to strive after in this journey. You know, you're no longer young children. You're at a place where you're adults, but you are in your homes. I like to just reemphasize just a couple things here. If you would know the tremendous effect that it would have on and how it would transform your walk with the Lord, if you come closer with your parents, you'd go after it. There's something that happens. There is. Young people begin to flourish spiritually. They gain victory over sin. They have a right view of God. There's a rest that comes into their hearts. And things begin to flow normally the way God intended it to. Here's some of the hindrances. Recently, as I was just thinking about the subject and thinking about some of the reasons why youth don't have better connections with their parents, I went to a young married man that I know quite well that doesn't have the best relationship with his parents. And I ask him this question. I ask him, if you'd have to do things over in your home growing up, what would you do different? And he's newly married, moving forward in life. And as we talked, there wasn't a whole lot of things that he could really think that he'd do different. And yet I know the home. I know this man's response to his parents. And I'm just going to share with you. I believe that if this young man would have taken the steps that I'd like to put out here this morning, things maybe wouldn't have come together to where we'd all like to see everything. You know, you have to do your part and your parents have to do theirs. But I'm going to suggest that the things that I'd like to put out here this morning, he would be at a very different place in his life if he would have followed some of the directions that Scripture gives us here. I'd like to suggest that. So the question comes, how do we bring these things together? How do we move forward with that? I'd like to maybe, first of all, look at a couple examples in Scripture of men who had respect for their parents. And I'd like to start out with a man by the name of Isaac, who had respect to his father in the middle of a situation that was totally impossible. Isaac was a young man, and the Bible calls him a lad. History tells us he was in his 30s already. Is there anyone here in their 30s? Okay, great. Okay, in their 30s, though I'm out of my 30s. I used to be in my 30s, and I'm out of my 30s now. But being 30 years old is no longer a teenager. Okay, Isaac was in his 30s when one day his father came to him. He was at home. One day his father came to him and he said, "Son, I heard from God. And God is asking us to go and sacrifice over on Mount Moriah. Can you go with me?" History says that Isaac was very close with his father and mother. You know, the Bible says that Isaac was the promised son. They had waited. God had promised that he was going to give Abraham a son. So after years and years, finally Isaac came. And you can just imagine how it is if there's no children and all of a sudden there's a son. When we got married, my wife and I, we didn't have children right away. It wasn't like way out there. But we came to the place where we're like, are we going to have children? Is God going to bless us with children? Then all of a sudden, when God gave us our first child, we were overwhelmed. Can you just imagine Abraham having waited for years, finally having a son. And then he had the son. And then God comes and says, "Abraham, I want you to take your son up on Mount Moriah. And I want you to sacrifice him." History says that before they left, they stood there and they cried on each other's shoulders. Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. Then they left. And as they journeyed, they traveled 2 days. And the third day, afar off, they see Mount Moriah. And Abraham, he says to his son, "Do you see the mount over there? That's where God has called us to sacrifice." And Isaac asks his father, this is according to history. History says that Isaac asked his father, "So where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, you're the one that is to be sacrificed. And Abraham says to Isaac, his son, are you willing to be that sacrifice? This is not a little 5-year-old. This is a man in his 30s. And he asked him, are you willing to be that sacrifice? And Isaac, listen to the respect that Isaac had. Isaac says, if God commanded that I be the sacrifice, then I'm willing to be that sacrifice. And history says, as they came up on the altar and Isaac laid out across that altar, Isaac said these words. He said, would you please tie me down so that I can't move and I can't flinch, because I want to be that perfect sacrifice for God Almighty. If God is calling us to do this, I want to be a perfect sacrifice. Can you just imagine with me the honor and the respect that he had toward his father? Unbelievable. Unprecedented. Noah, when he went into the ark, and he had 3 sons and their wives, and they built this big old boat. And, you know, there he was. It had never rained before. The Bible says that there was mist would come down and cover the earth, but there was no rain. They didn't know what rain was. And here they built this big boat. There's Noah and 3 sons and their wives, and they were the oddballs. Is there anyone here that sometimes feels like an oddball? When I grew up, I was an oddball. Ask me about it sometime, or maybe I'll share with you later. Yeah, maybe later this week I'll tell you about that. But there he was, building the big boat. And guess, the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. And can you just imagine this big old boat, you know, sitting over here in Bern, this big old boat, and day after day the people go by it and they just smile at the boat. They start laughing at him and say, are you Noah's son? Mm-hmm. You know. And those sons, those 3 sons, the respect, the honor that they had toward their father. Can you just imagine that? It's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. They stuck with their father. They stuck with him. Abraham or Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. And his sons, they believed in their dad. They trusted him. And they were going to be there for dad, because they believe there's a day coming that the earth is going to be destroyed. And day by day, you know how it is. We hear about the ark, down Kentucky, and we talk about that, and that's sort of the talk of the town. But I mean, can you just imagine if someone today would do something so way out? We would have never heard anything like it. And you're Noah's sons, and you believe him, and you respect him, and you're planning to go into that ark too? Yeah, right. You know, can you just imagine all the mockery and all the things that went on with that? Here's another one. The Bible says that Jesus was subject to his parents. It says this, and he went down with him and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Why do you think he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man? Do you think it had anything to do with the fact that he was subject to them? I like to suggest that it is that way. Okay, this morning, I would like to put out three directives that Scripture is very, very clear on. And I know that some of these things that I've been talking about the necessity for you to come close to your parents and all that, I know there's some of you that sit here and say, I'm going to try to do what I can on my part, but you know, there's no way that'll make any difference, and you know, it's all my parents' fault, and just all those kind of things. You know, it's not your fault. I know it's not, right? It's not your fault. It's your parents' fault. Because you're young yet. It's your parents' fault, and because you're trying to do your best. Okay, but I'd like to this morning give us three clear directives that Scripture gives for you to be pursuing. And I'd like to suggest that if you pursue these things with all of your heart, it might not come all the way over here to where you really desire to see them. But I'd like to suggest if you pursue what Scripture clearly defines as your responsibility, there's going to be a shift. If things aren't where they are, if you pursue your part, there will be a shift. And as you pursue your part, the day is going to come when God might give you a family. And as you have pursued that, there's going to be a continued shift. I'm going to say that that's how it was in our home growing up. For both my wife and myself, things didn't come all the way where we would have really desired them in our youth. But there's desires and things that we pursued and we went after. And as we pursued that, God worked many of those things in our hearts. And as we were pursuing them even before marriage and coming up through, we continued to pursue it. And as we continued to pursue it, God brought those things together. Even today in a way that is unbelievable. My wife is one of those. Sometimes people talk about children who are adopted, and sometimes there's this attitude that they don't turn out very well. You know, they're sort of. And by the way, that's a horrible attitude. If you ever have that, get rid of it. It's not right. Okay. I'd like to say, my wife is one of those who's a dear. Dear, she's one of those who's come through in a very beautiful way, and the Lord has done very beautiful things in our lives, and my wife's heart, and my heart, and her growing up years, and all those things, very beautiful. But I'd like to put out three things here this morning. First of all, I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 4. As a responsibility that you have. It says in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. Okay? The heart of the children to the fathers. I like to suggest that there are some here this morning who are like this with your parents, right? You've opened your heart. You've opened your heart. And you're like this. You share with them. They share with you. I like to suggest that there are some that, you know, if Dad's here, I'm sort of like this. And I like to suggest that there are some that are like this. And there's some maybe who are like this yet. And you know where you are. But look at this verse. It says, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. There's something that happens the further that parents and children get from each other. There's evil, wickedness, iniquity, ungodliness that develops the further that the hearts are separated. And there's some of you this morning that are here like this. You share, they share. Others that are like this. Others that are like this. And some like this yet. I like to suggest that it's God's will. It's God's will for you as a youth to come to the place where you turn your heart to your parents, even when they're doing everything wrong, in your opinion. And they might be. And you might say, well, you don't know my mom and dad. I know I don't. But Scripture is still Scripture. There's something about this principle, about a youth coming to their parents and opening their hearts like this. And maybe it'll never come together fully like you would desire. It might never come together totally. But I'd like to suggest that this is a principle in God's Word that He's giving to us as a responsibility. And this is something that you can do. I'm not here today at all encouraging you to go home and try to change your parents. That's not my endeavor. My endeavor is to put out three things here this morning that is a responsibility that Scripture is very clear. That's a responsibility for you. This is something that God wants you to do. God wants you to come and start opening your heart to your parents. And I don't know how far you can get. But it's God's will that you specifically turn your heart, your face, and open yourself toward your parents. And I don't know how far that can come. You know, there's different levels. There's an end that we want to strive toward. But I'd like to suggest that this is God's will for you that you specifically make a decision to start moving in that direction. Because there's some of you that are like this. There's some that are like this. Some like this yet. Pushing your father away or your parents. This is the will of God, that you start moving in your heart toward your father. It's a very serious thing. Very, very serious. It says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. What happens is, you know what's happening in the world today. You know what's happening out there. Most youth hearts are totally closed to their parents. And you look at the wickedness, the ungodliness, the horrible things that are going on in the world today. Not only that, you look at the struggles that are going on in churches. And I'm just going to say a lot of that has to do because youth don't learn to respect and honor their parents and turn their hearts toward their parents. Then they become adults and they still have these attitudes. They had attitudes toward mom and dad. Now they have attitudes at others. They have attitudes at the preachers. They have all, you know, that's what I'm talking about. There's something that happens when a youth makes a specific choice and decision to move toward their parents. And I'm not here to say exactly to how far you can get. Now, I'm not here asking that you don't go home and try to change your parents. It's your heart that we're going after here today. It's you, it's for you. To make a people prepared for the Lord. I wonder how your relationship with your father would look like if you turn your heart toward Him I wonder what it would look like. Wonder what it would look like. So that's number one, okay? That's number one. Turning your heart toward your father or toward your parents. That's number one. And these are very clear directives that are given by God. Here's another one. Number two. Number two is obedience. Now, I'm not sure how to say this because, you know, you're getting to be adults, right? You're adults. But you're in your parents' home, and Scripture is clear that if you're in your parents' home, you're to be under their authority. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, in verse 20, it says these words, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Now, are you children? But you're an adult. I like to suggest, and this is, I'm not sure how to say all this, but you are very clearly to be under your parents' authority and direction and to obey them while you're in their home. There comes a time when you come to the age where there's a shifting. Dad lets go some and gives you more flexibility to flap your wings a little bit maybe and some of that. But when you move out of your dad's home, there's a new authority established. You become that authority. But in your father's home, you are to be obedient. And this word obey, you might ask the question, well, what does it mean? What does that word obey really mean? Well, in the book of Hebrews, this same word is used in chapter 11 and verse 8, where the Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, went out, not knowing whither he went." So the story goes like this, that Abraham was living in the land of Haran with his father, with his relatives, and the day came when God called Abraham and he said, "Abraham, Abraham, yes, I want you to go and leave the land of Haran, and I want you to go into a land that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to give that land to you as an inheritance." And he didn't tell him where he was going. He said, "I want you to go, and I'll show you where that is." And the Bible says that Abraham did what? He obeyed. Now, obedience is when Dad says, maybe I should say it this way. I'm blessed. If my 22-year-old son comes to me and he asks, he says, "Dad, there's some things that I like to be doing on Thursday evening. Do you think it'd be okay if I would pursue that?" Do you think that's obedience? Right? That goes way beyond just Dad saying, "I want you to do this." Right? It's an opening of your heart further beyond just what he specifically tells you. Right? Obedience is when you really want to do what he's really trying to tell you. It's not just go do this. Obedience is trying to get the heart and wanting to find out how I can obey and please my Father. That's obedience. And this is a specific directive. I like to just tell you that I know how some of our homes are. And by the way, you all here aren't like this. But in some youth, for some youth, when Dad gives direction, they grumble. Now, you're not like that, boys. You're not like that. I know that. Okay. But some youth do that. Some youth, when dad gives some direction, they go and complain to their siblings. Some youth, they'll half-heartedly do what dad tells them to do because I'm 20. Why should I do what dad tells me to do? Right? No, you're not like that. But for some youth it is. And let me just tell you this. There's something about respect in some of that. You know, I was involved in speaking into the life of a young person some time ago. And when I spoke into that person's life, he obeyed halfway with a grudging attitude. Let me just tell you, you know, I'm trying to get to the heart of it, right? Obedience, youth. The Bible tells you that you are to obey your parents. And even though you're an adult and you think for yourself, and even though you need to talk about it and all those kind of things, I'd like to just make it very clear. The Bible is very clear. And for some of you, the reason that there's a wall between you and your parents is because you are obeying grudgingly. You're obeying grudgingly. There's a wall between you and your parents because you haven't given your heart. You don't readily, willingly just open your heart to your moms and your dads. If it really comes down to push and shove, you'll do what they say, but you're not doing it willingly and grudgingly. Or you're not doing it willingly, but you're doing it grudgingly. I like to suggest that that gap is going to come closer if you turn your heart toward dad and mom and you start willingly trying to please them. Not just doing what they say, but willingly trying to please them. That gap is going to close, right? That's two directives, right? Two? Okay? Those are things you can do, right? Now, you don't have to go change your parents. This is your responsibility. But as you do these things, that gap will start closing. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I wonder how your relationship with your father would look like if you obeyed your parents in everything willingly. I wonder if it would get better. I wonder. Here's another one. The third one is honor. Honor. Now, and by the way, when you all move out of the home and your own homes are established, there's a switch that comes. You know, in Ephesians it talks about obeying your parents, and as when you're in the home, there's an obedience level that's expected, and then when the time comes. When the time comes that you have your own home, there's an authority switch, and then it switches from the obedient part to the honoring part. Okay? So there's an authority switch there. So I want to be clear on that. Okay? But this honoring that we're going to talk about here is both for you now and in the years to come till your parents are in the grave. And even after they're in the grave, okay? Honor. In the world today, this thing of honor is totally abolished. There's no respect for parents. There's no honoring. It's not there. And let me describe to you what honor really is. So we're looking at three directives for you. Turning your heart toward your father, your parents. Obeying them. And then honoring them. Let me describe to you what this word honor means. If you look up the word honor, it means to revere and to venerate. Those are the two words. And I like to just take those two words and sort of break them out a little bit to help us to try to understand what those two words are. to revere, to revere means this. It means to respect, to admire. To admire. Do you admire your parents? To honor, to think highly of, to esteem. Hold in high esteem, hold in high regard, to look up to put on a pedestal, reverence. Now the question that I have here is, do you have this type of honor for your parents? Do you? You know, we're looking at three things. Turning your heart toward your dad, your parents. Obedience, and then honor. It means, and let me just go through this again. To revere means to respect, to admire, to honor, to think highly of, to esteem, to hold in high esteem, to hold in high regard, to look up to put on a pedestal, to reverence. I remember when I was a youth your age, there was a man that I had high esteem for. I was a youth your age. And my mom's brother, he was a godly man. He was just younger than my mom. And he was a sincere, godly man. I looked at him with very high regard. In fact, over the years, in my youth days, various times, him and I would do stuff together. I remember crawling into his refrigeration truck. At the time, he did refrigeration. And by the way, his name is Paul Weaver. Some of you might know him, others might not. But I remember crawling into his refrigeration truck and spending the whole day riding around the countryside and people and fixing people's furnaces and air conditioners. I had high regard and respect for him. As we'd drive around, he'd speak into my life. I remember going deer hunting with him. And he was sharing with me some of the things that he had gone through and some of the struggles that he was facing. And I had a very high regard. I was your age. I had a very high regard. I admired him. I respected him. He was a godly man. He loved God. I just admired him. I respected him. When I came to the place that we had a courtship and my wife and I, or my girlfriend and I, we were getting married and he called me up and said, "Hey, could we take you all out for supper and give you a little bit of advice on marriage?" Oh, yes, sure, yeah. And we went out together and we had supper together, just him and his wife and my girlfriend and I. I had high regard for him. I respect, I admired him. He had gone through a lot of things in life, and he was a God-fearing man. I regarded him highly. This is what the Bible says. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. I wonder if you would give your mom and your dad that type of honor. I wonder what would happen between you all. I wonder what would happen. Now let me look at the other word. The other word that's used there, you know, one word is to revere. The other is to venerate. To venerate. This is what venerate means, and I had to look it up, okay? I'm not... you know, I didn't know what that word means. But this is what it means, to venerate. It means to revere. It means to reverence. It means to worship. It means to honor and admire profoundly and respectfully. But you don't know. You don't know how my dad is. You don't know how my mom is. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know how it really is in our home. Okay? Isn't that going through your minds? Right? But you don't know my mom and dad. There's nothing to lift them up highly about. I mean, they're just... Okay, how can I venerate them? How can I reverence them? How can I lift them? Okay, let me just tell you, it's not for the wrongs that they're doing, but it's for the position that they have. It's for the position that they have, right? It's for the position that they have, even if they do some wrong things. Let me just keep on here. Venerate implies a holding as holy because of character, association, or age. Okay? Or age. A revere stresses deference and tender feeling. Now, I'd like to just give you a little scenario here on this whole thing to venerate. And as we go through this description, I would like for you to make the comparisons, because there are some of you that are sitting here and saying, you just don't know my mom and dad, and I can't have that type of veneration or whatever. I can't esteem them highly. But let's just consider with me, if I would have come up here this morning, I would have said, hey youth, we have a surprise here today. We have a surprise. After I'm done speaking here, I'm going to give the signal. And out here, Donald Trump is going to walk in the doorway here. He's going to come up here, and he's going to talk to you 5 minutes. And, whoo, guess what you would have done? And everyone would have literally sat on the edge of their seat. And he would have... great anticipation. And you know, Donald Trump, he's a liar. You know, you all know that, right? Donald Trump lies. Donald Trump is deceitful. He's immoral. He's all kinds of stuff. But Donald Trump, he's the president of the United States. And he's going to come in here. He's going to talk to us. And all of you would have sat on the edge of your seat. And when he walked in here, every eye would have been peeled over there. And you would have venerated him. He walks up here, and, you know, you're just, why? Yeah, because he's a godly man, or because of his position, right? It's because he's the president of the United States, and he carries an office and a position that you would have venerated him. Now, let me just tell you something. There's some of you here that says, but you just don't know our home. I know my dad loves God, but he does some things that are just off the wall. Okay? You let God change him. But I'd like to just tell you, this is a very clear directive from the Word of God. And I wonder how your relationship would change. See, we're putting out three directives here. We're not trying to change your parents. But we're putting out three directives here. That if you go and you do these things, I'm just going to promise you something will change in your relationship. Something will happen. And these are three principles that are clearly in the Word of God given to you as a responsibility. Three things. But the reason that we don't think, you know, we know Dad's disappointed me. He's too busy. Dad doesn't speak kindly to me. There's a wall between Dad and I. I can't get close to my dad. My dad gets angry and I'm scared of him. He doesn't deserve the honor. He doesn't deserve me to even care for him. I don't know him that well. He just keeps snapping at me and all these kind of things. Let me tell you, the Bible is giving us a directive for us to honor your parents. And I'm just going to tell you, and I don't know how I can communicate this to you, but I'm going to say that if you put in your sights where you want to go, where you want to be, and a part of that is coming together with your parents, but you have a long-term goal of being like this with your own children, and a part of that has to be going like this with your dad, with your parents. A part of that has to be. If you're not willing to make those moves, you're going to be where you're at with your dad today, with your own children. And the more those things push apart, the more those things push apart, the more, you know, God wants to just pour blessings on us. But your walk with God will enhance and move forward the more that we follow in the principles and the order that God has put into place here. I'd like to suggest, if you pursue these three things, I promise you something will happen. It might not come to where you would desire it. Okay? And that's okay. Scripture is just simply giving you instruction. Okay? And God's going to take care of your mom and dad. Okay? He'll take care of them. But He's asking you. These are directives for you. I think I'll do it very quickly here yet. I don't have much time here. But what I'd like to do here is I would like to put on the board here very quickly just some things that you would desire to see. It's best. You have more goals for the future, and some of the things with your mom and dad you've sort of shelved. Okay, I know for some of you you have, but some of you have goals, desires for how you would like to relate to your children, your youth, when they get to be your age. Can you just name some off for me, and I'll put them up on the board here. What are some of your goals? Oh, come on. Good working relationship. Okay. Others?
Truly merciful.
If I don't spell it right, you have to just give that to me. Freely. Children. Freely. Come. And share. Others? Yeah?
Love.
Love. Love. Others. Oh, come on. Yeah. Any more than that? Yes?
Mutual trust.
Okay. Others? Youth having confidence in the parents. Okay. youth, confidence in parents. Others? Parents helping youth through struggles. Others? I'll put on here, be there for youth, or a parent's being there for the youth, no matter what. Parents, be there. Others? Yes?
Love to be together?
Oh, yeah. Oh, love and delight. I'll just stop there. I know we could fill 5 boards with that, right? We could. Now, this is one thing that I'd like to say that, and there's more things I could say here. I'm not finished with my notes, okay? But there's one thing I'd like to say yet. These are things that we would like to see with our families in the future. There's a verse that I think we often miss. We just miss it. Okay, this is what it says, and it's profound. Do unto others as you would have, or do unto mom and dad as you would have mom and dad do to you. Whew, that just sort of knocks the socks off of everything there, right? I mean, you have your responsibility. It's pretty big there all of a sudden, right? Do to your mom and dad as you would have your mom and dad do to you. That's a big one. That's huge, right? Well, I'd like to love and delight being with mom and dad. How do I do that with mom and dad? Do to others as you would have others do to you. Do to mom and dad as you would have them do to you. And on. I mean, 5 boards full of this. I mean, it wouldn't take long to fill 5 boards. You know, I have a whole bunch of stuff and I didn't even touch. Okay. Do to mom and dad the way you would have mom and dad do to you. And now, oh, I need to stop, okay? I need to stop. But consider, youth, consider with me, 3 simple directives. 3, only 3. Turning your heart toward your mom and dad. 2, obeying them. 3, honoring. And you might say, well, you know, he does, you know, dad's just, I'm glad my children are merciful with me. I mean, I do some things that aren't as kosher as they should be. love. Three things. Turn your heart, obey, honor. And I promise you, it'll be different. It might not come to where you want to. But if you pursue that and you become sensitive and you move in that direction, God will open the door for your future to just keep on moving that way. And Lord bless you.